Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, boys and girls. Welcome to Diaries of a Pretender yet again. We've got snow on the ground where I'm at, which is very unusual, and I'm loving it, and I'm very excited to be coming at you today with episode Lucky number 13. Absolutely fabulous. Thank you, buddy. Episode 13, here we go. I did get a comment from a listener saying that they loved my cats. So, oh, wow. I guess he is like the co-host. Yes, buddy, talk. Tell me what you're feeling. I don't know what's wrong with him. He went out in the snow today. It was the first time he and his sister have ever seen snow. And they were not afraid. They were not apprehensive. They just plopped their little butts right out there and chased some birds. But they're like really over the top excited, like probably how all the little kids who are seeing the rare snow today are feeling. They're like staring out the window, running around like crazy, talking their little heads off, as you can hear. So yeah, shaping up to be a lively day around here at the Greer Home Studio. Yeah, I've been getting some more feedback from the listeners about, you know, nice comments, things that people are liking about the show. I've been getting a lot of good feedback on the show. The show is growing. I'm very happy with the way that it's going so far. Actually, in the last 7 days, we've had listeners from the United States, India, the Netherlands, Bangladesh, Argentina, Canada, Pakistan, Poland, and Sweden. Yes, buddy, that's right. We are international. We are reaching people all over the world. I could not be more excited about that. I also got an email from a listener who was letting me know that they decided to quit drinking and smoking after listening to the show. Now, that is amazing, honestly. That made me feel so good that actually what I'm doing is having an impact on somebody's life. And, you know, hopefully it's having an impact on other people's lives as well. But that was just like one little, you know, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that. I was just thinking today also because I guess for the last, I was going to see, you know, how long this would last. But since Brando is so exhilarated today over the snow and the birds outside, he's like trying to pry the door open and run and smash his face into the window. Let me just let this young man out of the room so he can go live his best life one moment. Okay, he can't be tamed, truly. I was just thinking this morning after I got ready, I guess probably because I have just been in loungewear for approximately 3 to 4 days. And today I got up and actually got dressed and put on makeup and jeans. I mean, it's got to be a special occasion these days for me to put on jeans. But it is because it snowed outside and I'm planning on going outside to fly my drone and see what the cats get up to out in the snow. Anyway, after I got up and got dressed today and put on makeup, my motivation and my attitude completely did a 180. I was like feeling kind of sluggy, you know, this morning, just enjoying the snow, reading, having a couple of cups of coffee, looking out the window, petting the cats. And then I got dressed and put on makeup and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm in business mode. I'm ready to change the world. So just a tip, if you're working from home and you're feeling like you're in a rut because you've just gotten a little bit complacent and you're not getting dressed or fixing your hair or doing whatever anymore, I'm telling you, if you get up in the morning and you get dressed as if you were having to go to work or as if you were going to go out into the world, it's going to completely change the way you feel. And that was something that a friend of mine told me many years ago, actually, who worked from home full time, you know, back then. And she would always say, like, even though I work at home, I get up in the morning and I get dressed like I'm going to the office every day because it makes me feel good. And amen, sister. Amen. Speaking of feeling motivated, I'm still, you know, working on multiple businesses and I've got a lot of different ventures and things that I'm involved in. And I started running some Facebook ads for one of my businesses. And I got an email that I had a comment on the ad. So I went and looked at it and it was a man named Virgil just commented liar on my business ad. So I was like, excuse me? Liar? That's all you have to say. And that pretty much sums it up. What's going on over there on Facebook right now? Not a place I like to be. So yeah, that was, you know, just another one of those things that you encounter, you know, every time you try to do something, inevitably there will be somebody that's just got something shitty to say. Of course, I was not lying in my ad, and then I had to like go back and cite the source of the information and all kinds of stuff. But just, you know, it's just one of those things. Every time you try to do something, there will always be a Virgil who's going to be like, oh, really? Oh, I don't think so. Your shit sucks. Or just whatever it is, you know. So the sooner you learn to take that kind of stuff in stride, the better off you'll be. And I can say that as well from experience. Also, I guess this is very quickly turning into a freaking business entrepreneur podcast, but I mean, just for today. But as you know, I just talk about whatever I feel, and this is how I'm feeling today. Anyway, I read something really interesting last week about some guy. I don't know who it was, and I feel like I sound really stupid not knowing who it was, because I have no doubt that it was somebody who was important at some point in history. So let me just see if I can look it up so I don't just make an ass out of myself entirely. Who's there? Okay, well, I can't find it. But somebody, I think I saw it in the New York Times. There was somebody who used to spend 1 hour each week uninterrupted, with no phone calls, no visitors, no anything. 1 hour a week to focus on high-level concepts. And I think that this is a really wonderful habit to get into. And I've kind of, I mean, I spend, I feel like I spend quite a bit of time doing that sort of thing anyway, because I'm always like readjusting my plans and like pivoting and trying to find new ways to accomplish things. But I encourage you guys to take this into consideration. Think about this: 1 hour a week where you sit down with a pen and paper, no phone, nobody in the room with you, no TV, no anything, just you and a pen and paper to just conceptualize and think out high concept ideas, whatever your thoughts are, whatever it is that you want to accomplish or whatever it is you want to get done, and just kind of let it be a free association, free form brainstorm session. And it really does wonderful things, because each day, you know, kind of like as you move through the week, you just accumulate more and more like little things every day that you have to take care of. You have to put gas in your car, or you have to pay bills, or you have to go to the store or catch up on your emails or clean your house or take your cat to the vet. Or whatever it is, that just little tasks that keep you busy throughout the week. And if you don't watch yourself, you may never carve out that time to just really conceptualize, get like a broad overview in your, allow your mind to pull back a little bit and see the big picture and allow you to collect your thoughts in a totally different way than you do when your mind is focused on those little tasks every day. So I'm really enjoying that, which I learned last week. I have also been feeling really stressed. I know last week I told you guys that I was feeling kind of down and I was kind of fighting my way through, and I have been just particularly stressed out this last week, and I'm feeling a lot better this week. But something that I have to remind myself, and this really works as well, is, I mean, I do have a legitimate, like, personal situation that I am, like, dealing with right now that's pretty tough, and I'm not ready to talk about it just yet, although at some point I definitely will once, you know, everything has passed and I've had some time to heal, because I definitely want to share everything with you guys and be completely honest and open about my experiences, because I do want it to help people. I want my experience, I want to be able to share my experiences. And that, if you've been listening to this show, I'm sure you know by now that that is something that's important to me. So anyway, all that to say, I will share at some point what I'm going through right now, but just I don't feel like it's the right moment to do so. But even if you have something really tough going on in your life, something really difficult that you're dealing with, and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling really stressed, here's something that works for me pretty much every time. If you take a breath and shut your eyes and think about what is wrong right now in this moment, right here, right now, in the present, usually 9 times out of 10, the answer is nothing. Nothing is wrong right now. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm sitting here. I'm talking to you. I'm breathing. I'm alive. And nothing is wrong. There is nothing wrong right now. And I think that really helps me to cope with difficult life circumstances and situations. And it's just a good thing to remember whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, that no matter, because usually when you're overwhelmed about something, it's something that either already happened or that you think might happen, but hasn't happened yet. And really, present moment awareness is the antidote to all of those negative feelings associated with that stuff, associated with looking back or looking forward. So remaining present is a powerful, powerful treatment for those ails. So if anybody like me is struggling with, you know, something like that, just remember right now in this very moment, you've got nothing to worry about. I think the listeners of this podcast need a crew name. So I'm formally putting forth that the listeners of this show be known from here on out as Pretenders. Not the Pretenders, like the band, which is a very cool band, but I'm not trying to bite their style. So let's just be Pretenders, okay? Because originally, whenever I named this show, the idea was, you know, basically I'm going to tell stories about my journey in a career in show business and movies, television, the arts, dealing with actors, dealing with the business, all that stuff, which I am still doing. But the pretender part is not only pretending as in, you know, working as an actor, but, you know, we pretend in all kinds of ways. And like, for me, one thing that I have pretended is pretending that I know what I'm doing as I kind of reshape my career and my different jobs that I've, you know, decided to do. So like directing shorts and sketches. And, you know, there was a time when I had never directed anything and I directed a sketch, or actually a series of sketches that I wrote and directed. And the first time I did that, I really, you know, I've been around many directors. I've been on many sets. I know in general, like what it looks like, but there are a lot of decisions you have to make that I had never made before. Like, you know, what kind of shot do you want this to be? Do you want this to be a close-up, medium shot, a two-shot? Where do you want the camera? What do you want to see? How do you want it colored? What's the tone? What's the this? Do you want this to be a handheld shot or a Steadicam or what? And I was just like, oh, fuck, I don't. Just give me a minute. You know, I had to like take a moment and just pretend that I knew what I was doing. And once you pretend long enough, eventually you figure it out. And you know, I think to some degree, everybody continues to just figure things out for their entire careers and their entire lives. So, you know, fake it till you make it. Hell fucking yeah, fake it till you make it. That's what everybody else is doing. But, you know, there's all kinds of things that we pretend every day. Every interaction you have with people, a lot of times you're pretending. You're pretending to be interested in what somebody's telling you because it's the polite thing to do. You know, you're like, yeah, that's so interesting. Wow, that's great. That's really great for you guys. I'm so happy to hear that you just installed a new layer of sod on your yard, or like whatever. That was a horrible example. And I don't even know where that came from. No one's ever said that to me once. I definitely don't have any friends that are laying sod or talking about it. You know, see, sometimes your mind just does weird stuff like that. It's crazy. But you know what I mean. So think about it and let me know what it is that you're pretending. Or maybe you're not and you're just living your fully authentic life, but I kinda doubt it. All right, pretenders. And, you know, let me know what you think about that as a name. If you don't like it, you know, let me know. This is all for you, the listener. So, you know, but honestly, if you don't like it, I probably, you know, if people don't like what I'm doing, you don't have to listen. So, you know, I'm not trying to be sassy, but just being real. I saw this video on Instagram the other day where this guy that makes memes did like an Instagram reel where he was like compared people saying they're going to unfollow you to somebody who just like broke in your house. It was really funny. The guy's name is Tank Sinatra on Instagram, and actually his memes are pretty good. But it was like someone just came in his house and they were like, I'm unfollowing you. And he was like, okay, I didn't even know you were here till a second ago. And they're like, good. Well, I'm leaving. I don't like the way you have it in here. And he's like, that's fine. It's the way I like it. So you should go if you don't like it. And then they go outside and they go outside his window and they're like, oh, he locks the door. And he's like, wow, that person was crazy. I better lock the door and make sure they don't come back. And then the person comes back like after he's blocked them and they come up to the window and they're like, did you block me? So, yeah, I kind of have a similar feeling. But if you didn't like the show, you wouldn't be listening. So anyway, irrelevant. Moving on. Okay, this week. Okay, I'm actually, swear to God, I'm going to make a little jingle jangle soundbite that I'm going to start putting here for my little segments. I swear. Movie of the week. Here's a fun fact about movie of the week. Movie of the week is a showbiz term, actually. Movie of the week used to be television movies that were made for TV and only aired on TV. Let me just actually get the real definition for you. Oh, okay. It originated as an ABC thing. ABC Movie of the Week was a weekly television anthology series featuring made-for-TV movies that aired on the ABC network in various permutations from 1969 to 1975. My first agent, Claudia Spiker, she was like a really old-school lady who had like been around the block, you know, been around forever in this business. And she used to call every TV movie of the week, MOW. I did an MTV movie for an MTV television movie, and she called it Movie of the Week. Anyway, on this show, the Movie of the Week is the movie that I recommend. So, this week, the Raiden Greer Movie of the Week recommendation is... I Care a Lot. I Care a Lot. It just came out on Netflix, I think last Friday. This was one of the movies that I saw a few weeks ago. I saw an advanced screening, and oh my God, it is so much fun to watch. I'm going to watch it again for sure now that it's on Netflix. It's like a really cool, really stylized action movie. Starring Rosamund Pike, and she's like this ruthless lady who basically is running a big racket where she is a legal guardian who can be appointed by the court to take over someone's estate when they can no longer look after themselves. And it's a really perfect scheme that she has set up where she's got like hundreds of old people legally under her care. And she sells off all their assets, you know, and pays herself basically while they're in the nursing home. And it's all going well until she barks up the wrong tree. And she gets involved with a lady who's very, very wealthy and who's connected to some very bad men. Peter Dinklage plays the bad guy, and the movie's just fucking awesome. It was, like, seriously so much fun, so wild and crazy and cool, and just badass women just doing their thing. I loved it. Honestly, I need to come up with my own rating system, but I don't know. I don't know what it is right now. I give it 5 meows from my cat. Meow, 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 meow. Jesus. Okay. So yeah, check it out. I Care a Lot. It's on Netflix and you're gonna love it. I've got my new beverage that I wanted to try and tell you guys about. But I'm actually just drinking the second one right now and it's pretty cool. It's called Recess and it's a canned sparkling water that also has hemp and adaptogens and other stuff and juice in it. It's actually amazing. It's like Spindrift, but it has extra herbal components. And it's supposed to be like a situation that makes you feel creative and calm and focused and gives you a boost, but not a jittery boost, like, you know, coffee or energy drink or whatever. And it's pretty cool. I haven't tried all the flavors yet. I'm having a blackberry chai right now. And it has hemp extract, ginseng, L-theanine, lemon balm, all kinds of stuff. Chai tea in this one. Blackberry juice, pear juice. I mean, it's really something. And 0 grams of sugar, which is a must for me. Anyway, yeah, I had my first one yesterday. I like it. I'm not going to drink this every day because it is kind of expensive. I'm still going to keep my Spindrift in the afternoon beverage rotation. But if you guys want to try this, it is a pretty cool product. I think I have a referral code that maybe I'll share. Because we are going to be having a beverage club in this podcast community. So yeah. And if you guys know of any, cool non-alcoholic, cutting edge beverages, please let me know because I want to try all of them. I'm constantly trying new beverages and it's a lifestyle. Truly. The beverage lifestyle is real. Okay. Moving on now to this week's absolutely wild story. Absolutely wild. I'm going to make a jingle jangle for that as well. Next week, you're going to be blown away next week when you hear the jingle jangles I come up with for these. You're going to be like, damn, this is a real show. This is a real fucking show. Okay, this week's Absolutely Wild is, this originated as just a YouTube video that someone sent to me, and I watched it, and I was honestly blown away by this story. I'm not going to play the entire thing because it's almost 6 minutes long. I'll post the link so you guys can go watch it if you want to go watch the whole thing. It's a fascinating video and a fascinating story. It's about this actor. His name is Stephen Tobolowsky. And I recognize him as the guy from Memento. If you remember the movie Memento, it's one of my favorites, one of Christopher Nolan's early films that takes place in two different timelines, which that I could do a whole episode about Memento. But so in the two different timelines, the one that's moving forward is in black and white, and the one that's moving backwards is in color. And this, the storyline that's moving forward is Guy Pearce is in the hotel room. He's talking on the phone and telling this guy, or whoever he's talking to on the phone, I don't remember, or even know if it's revealed. He's on the phone talking to somebody about Sammy Jenkins. Sammy Jenkins was the guy that he couldn't make new memories. And his wife didn't believe that he couldn't make new memories because Guy Pearce, when he worked as an insurance adjuster, had told the woman that physically there was nothing wrong with his brain. He should be able to make new memories. And his wife was so distraught, she thought that Sammy was faking it. She gave him... He kept giving her insulin injections over and over because she was testing him to see. She would be like, Sammy, it's time for my shot. Then he would give it to her. And then she was like, Sammy, it's time for my shot. And he gave it to her again because he really didn't remember. And she was distraught. And he didn't know what was going on. And he was just, it's honestly so, it was such a clever bit of writing there, I think, on behalf of Christopher Nolan, and I love that movie. But anyway, this man, Stephen Tobolowsky, played Sammy Jenkins in that movie. He's been in a lot of other stuff, but I can't name them off. That is the only role that I specifically recognize him from. Anyway, there's this video on YouTube where he talks about a story of when he worked with Steven Seagal. And honestly, it's a trip. It is a trip. Steven Seagal has a reputation, I guess, kind of, for being an odd fellow. So it's not really all that surprising. But here's the basic premise of the story. This man was hired to work on a Steven Seagal movie. And he was there on the first day of shooting, and the director told him, Steven Seagal decided that he doesn't want to kill people in movies anymore. So we need, like, the main premise of the movie had to do with Steven Seagal killing this guy's character. And, so then they kind of had to go back and forth about this.
I said, I hear you. And Steven says, I think it's just bad that we keep putting this violence into the world. I mean, we're creating a sicker and sicker society by putting this kind of thing out into the world. I said, I understand that, Steven, but this case may be an exception.
All right, so this man convinced Steven Seagal to kill him in the movie, even though Steven Seagal had a change of heart and didn't want to kill people in movies anymore. And I love the way that guy told the story, and I love this video. And actually, the story goes on and gets even wilder from there. So if you're interested in that, I'm not going to keep going on about that, but I will put the link in the description so you guys can go watch it if you want to, because I did find it to be very interesting, especially if you're interested in the way movies are made and what actors are out here doing, because they're doing odd things all the time. But I also agree, like, even though Steven Seagal is an odd guy, I actually totally get what he's saying about not wanting to keep putting that kind of violence out into the world, because at some point I started to feel the same way. I've been shot in the face by Forrest Whitaker in a movie and had the back of my head sprayed all over the wall. And don't get me wrong, I had a great time. That's like one of my favorite clips of my acting to this day. And I had a neck tattoo and it was super cool and so much fun. But I do in the last couple of years, I have started to become more conscious of what I'm putting out into the world because it does matter. It does matter. And that's kind of one reason that I try to, my true personality is like a little bit snarky and I love engaging in witty banter and, you know, just shooting the shit, you know? But at the same time, I do want to provide value to people with this show by making you feel hopeful and hopefully entertaining with, you know, well, the entertaining part, I think, is just part of me being me. And then the adding value part, I think, is imparting the stories from my life to help you, relate to what I've been through. And hopefully that is a net positive on what I'm putting out into the world with this. And I am very mindful about that. So I totally get Steven Seagal for that. But it's just funny when commerce is involved and studios are like, excuse me, sex sells, tits sell, and cutting people's heads off and torturing and burning humans is really what we're feeling right now in order to inject our wallets with a large bundle of cash. So get your fucking ass out there and shoot the guy and shut the hell up. And I just did recommend I Care a Lot, which has a lot of violence, but it's also a good movie. It's not just pointless violence. It's about a strong lady taking control of her life and her future at other people's expense. And then you see, you know, she has some unpleasant outcomes as a result of that. But anyway, you're just going to have to watch that movie. Watch this video that I just talked about if you're interested in that story, because it is interesting. But now I see some other stuff about Steven Seagal as well that I have not heard yet. Liam Neeson says that Steven Seagal insulted him. Tom Arnold has a crazy Steven Seagal story. If Tom Arnold has a crazy Steven Seagal story, that's probably a good one. Because Tom Arnold,
I mean. Rule you're most embarrassed by.
I got a great Steven Seagal story. Do you want to hear it real quick?
I want to hear Steven Seagal's
story. Okay, Steven Seagal, a great man. We were shooting on a houseboat. The director said, well, let's practice. Let's rehearse this scene one time. It's kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. We're sitting around. It's DMX or whatever. And Steve goes like, I don't rehearse, man. He goes, no, seriously, just for camera, will you let us rehearse? No, let's just shoot it. Let's shoot this. Oh, he goes, okay. So anyways, he starts. And Steve goes like, well, I will tell you one thing. And he starts to get up. He goes, I'm going to kick all your asses. And he starts walking out towards what he thinks is a door.
Yeah.
But it's not the right door. It's the door that goes into the ocean. Okay, I swear. And I'm going to say, oh my gosh, you're going to the wrong door. But then I know what's happening. So I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. And he takes a step and he drops into the ocean, just out of frame. And you know, at the time he colored in his hair, he had about that much black, like magic marker kind of thing. He's a great guy, by the way. And he wouldn't wear a hairpiece, so he just painted in. And if you watch the movie up close, you could go, oh my God, there's like an inch of black stuff. And he's like kind of fat for a muscle guy. Yeah. He's got very big wrists, so.
Oh,
but he's,
my, you know, God.
And he, so I looked down and I was like, holy buddy. And so he comes up, he's sort of embarrassed because, you know, and the black stuff is ready up. But, you know, that was fun. That was great.
That's amazing.
That was a great moment.
That's
but
amazing.
I remember going, I should tell him. And I look at the director, and he's like, and then he walks, and then.
Last question on the list.
I love Steven Seagal. He's a good dude.
Oh my God, that was such a good story. Also, Tom Arnold, could he be more passive aggressive about that? He's like insulting him at every turn, and then he's like, "Hey, great guy, by the way, great guy, really great guy, really nice guy, kind of fat, you know, kind of fat for a muscle guy, but really love the guy." Great guy. And, you know, his hair was kind of thinning, so he had, like, marker, but great guy. I mean, that was incredible. That was absolutely incredible. Can you imagine seeing that on set, Liam Neeson walking? Not fucking Liam Neeson. Steven Seagal gets up and just opens the door and falls into the ocean while you're in the middle of the scene. That's incredible. That is incredible. That video has 1 million views and it deserves 10 million, honestly. And that's another weird thing about making movies. There are certain actors are so weird about rehearsing. It's one of those things like, are you method or are you able to like go in the scene and just begin and then come out of the scene and talk to everybody like normal? And people have such different opinions and feelings about that. The same thing is true about rehearsing. There are certain actors who are offended by the thought that you would ask them to rehearse. And sometimes you really have to, I mean, just like that story that he just told, if people are moving through the scene, and especially now that I've been on the directing side of, you know, things as well, there are situations where you have to have people at least walk it, you know, like he was saying, so you can see that the camera is in the right place and everybody's moving the right way and everyone knows where they're supposed to land and what they're supposed to be doing. And honestly, Steven Seagal deserved probably to fall into the ocean on that one, because that's just kind of stupid if you ask me. But the idea is that people don't want to rehearse because they don't want to give away their best stuff during the rehearsal, which I do get. But my feeling is I'm totally capable of not giving away my best stuff in the rehearsal. The rehearsal is like the same way you have to memorize lines. You have to like read them over and over. You still have to be able to walk on set and give the illusion of everything happening for the first time. But obviously it's not possible to have it actually happen for the first time. I mean, sometimes you have to do 20 takes. If you're working with certain directors, it's going to be more than that. Some less, some more. But I mean, every take has to give the illusion of the first time. All actors have to do that. So what's the difference in just rehearsing? It's up to you if you give your best shit away during the rehearsal or not. Nobody's forcing you to give your best shit away during the rehearsal. Just don't do it. Don't go full out during the rehearsal. That's my feeling, but I guess Steven Seagal didn't feel the same way. All right, we've got about a foot of snow on the ground outside. I haven't seen snow in, honestly, it's probably been 5 years. I can't even remember where was the last place that I saw snow. I feel like it must have been New York, but it might have been like 5 years ago in Arkansas. I'm really not sure. But regardless, it doesn't snow very often here. And this is like, honestly, a big deal. So I'm going to go outside. I'm going to spend a little bit of the afternoon playing in the snow by myself. And I'm going to get my drone out and get some cool footage. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to come back inside and make some coconut cream hot chocolate. And sounds like it's going to be a good day. I hope you guys have a good day wherever you are in the world. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you got something good out of it and that it made your life better. I hope you were entertained. And if you weren't, oh well, that's why it's free. I'm just kidding. I really hope you were entertained. Anyway, are you following the Diaries of a Pretender page on Instagram? Probably not, because we only have like 7 followers. So check it out. If you want to see video clips and highlights from the show, that's where you'll find them. Also on my YouTube channel, I post video clips from the show where you can see me in real life, what I look like sitting here in front of my microphone talking about this stuff and what kind of faces I'm making. I mean, it's a whole new layer to the show. So check that out. It's my name, Raiden Greer, on YouTube and at Diaries of a Pretender on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and rate and review the show. I've got a few really lovely reviews and I'd love a few more. Honestly, you know, every little bit helps. Thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up. Please email me podcast@raiden.me if you have any comments, questions, or you just want to say hello. I reply to everyone that emails. So thank you so much. Go out in the world and just kick some ass today. Make things happen, live your best life, and just do whatever the hell you want. And don't hurt anyone in the process. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you next week. Bye.